5. The VMI bench announcement. On many mornings during the Supreme Court's terms, the justices mount the bench in the ornate courtroom to announce the court's decisions. To read full opinions of the court would take many hours and likely put the audience to sleep, so the court takes a more practical approach. The author of each majority opinion boils down the decision to its essence and ideally reads a succinct, accessible description of what the court has done and why. Below is Justice Ginsburg's announcement from the bench of the decision in United States v. Virginia, known as the VMI case, which she has described as one of the most personally satisfying she has delivered in all her years on the bench. Worthy of note, the only precedent from which Justice Ginsburg quotes in her bench announcement is Mississippi University for Women v. Hogan, 1982. Those were the words of Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman to serve on the Supreme Court. Just finishing her first term, Justice O'Connor wrote for the majority in that 5-4 case, holding unconstitutional the exclusion of a man from the university's all-female school of nursing. The full VMI opinion, in which Ginsburg was joined by 5 of her colleagues, including Justice O'Connor, is reported at 518 U.S. 515, 1996. Chief Justice Rehnquist filed an opinion concurring in the judgment, which means he signed on to the outcome, although not the reasoning of the majority opinion. Justice Thomas took no part in the consideration or decision of the case. His son was then attending VMI. Justice Scalia, the lone dissenter, mounted a spirited defense of single-sex education as a legitimate example of diversity in educational options, and accused the majority of providing for sex-based classifications, a redefinition of intermediate scrutiny that makes it indistinguishable from strict scrutiny. He also accused the court of destroying VMI, a prediction that proved off-base. As Justice Ginsburg has more than once pointed out, in the years since women have been admitted, VMI and its cadets seem to be doing fine, just as she expected they would. Bench Announcement, June 26, 1996. United States v. Virginia, number 94-1941. Virginia v. United States, number 94-2107.
This case concerns an incomparable military college, the Virginia Military Institute, VMI, the sole single-sex school among Virginia's public institutions of higher learning. Since its founding in 1839, VMI has produced civilian and military leaders for the Commonwealth and the nation. The school's unique program and unparalleled record as a leadership training ground has led some women to seek admission. The United States, on behalf of women capable of all the activities required of VMI cadets, instituted this lawsuit in 1990, maintaining that under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, Virginia may not reserve exclusively to men the educational opportunities that VMI affords. The case has had a long history in court. In the first round, the district court ruled against the United States, reasoning that the all-male VMI served the state's policy of affording a diverse array of educational programs. The Fourth Circuit vacated that judgment, concluding that a diversity policy serving to favor one gender did not constitute equal protection. In the second round, the lower courts considered and found satisfactory the remedy Virginia proposed, a program for women called the Virginia Women's Institute for Leadership, or VWIL, at a private women's college, Mary Baldwin College. A VWIL degree, as the Fourth Circuit said, would not carry the historical benefits and prestige of a VMI degree, and the two programs differed markedly in methodology. VMI's is rigorously adversative, V-Wills would be cooperative. But overall, the lower courts concluded, the schools were sufficiently comparable to meet the demand of equal protection. We reverse that determination. Our reasoning centers on the essence of the complaint of the United States and on facts that are undisputed. Some women, at least, can meet the physical standards VMI imposes on men, are capable of all the activities required of VMI cadets, prefer VMI's methodology over V-Wills, could be educated using VMI's methodology, and would want to attend VMI if they had the chance. With recruitment, the district court recognized, VMI could achieve at least 10% female enrollment, a number, the district court said, sufficient to provide female cadets with a positive educational experience. If most women would not choose VMI's adversative method, many men, too, would not want to be educated in VMI's environment. The question before us, however, is not whether women or men should be forced to attend VMI. Rather, the question is whether Virginia can constitutionally deny to women who have the will and capacity, the training and attendant opportunities VMI uniquely affords, training and opportunities the V-Will program does not supply. To answer that question, we must have a measuring rod, what lawyers call a standard of review. In a nutshell, this is the standard our precedent establishes. Defenders of sex-based government action must demonstrate an exceedingly persuasive justification for that action. To make that demonstration, the defender of a gender line must show at least that the challenge classification serves important governmental objectives and that any discriminatory means employed is substantially related to the achievement of those objectives. The heightened review standard applicable to sex-based classifications does not make sex a proscribed classification, but it does mark as presumptively invalid, incompatible with equal protection, a law or official policy that denies to women, simply because they are women, equal opportunity to aspire, achieve, participate in, and contribute to society based upon what they can do. Under this exacting standard, reliance on overbroad generalizations, typically male or typically female tendencies, estimates about the way most women or most men are, will not suffice to deny opportunity to women whose talent and capacity place them outside the average description. As this court said in Mississippi University for Women against Hogan some 14 years ago, state actors may not close entrance gates based on fixed notions concerning the roles and abilities of males and females. A remedial decree must cure the constitutional violation. In this case, the violation is the categorical exclusion of women from an extraordinary educational leadership development opportunity afforded men. To cure that violation and to afford genuinely equal protection, women seeking and fit for a VMI quality education cannot be offered anything less. We therefore reverse the Fourth Circuit's judgment and remand the case for proceedings consistent with this opinion. The Chief Justice has filed an opinion concurring in the judgment. Justice Scalia has filed a dissenting opinion. Justice Thomas took no part in the consideration or decision of the case.